This is insane.
Good morning, Internet. Not my favorite morning I've ever had. Started off with somehow not like my alarm changed. I have one of those really cool, look at I'm moving everything. I have one of those really cool daylight clocks. Have you seen these things? Silly purchase, but it when I was working at the radio station and getting up early, it made a lot of sense. So it's one of these things that it'll start half an hour before the alarm goes off, turning a light on, and it gets really bright, like daylight bright. And then it, and then your alarm goes off, and then the alarm is like birds chirping, which is really great. I really love the clock, but somehow my alarm for this morning like shifted to just a little bit of a dim light and no sound, and so yeah, late start. And I kind of got back on track with it. It was feeling a little bit better, and then right as I'm trying to get ready to go live here, a box fell and all these wires got pulled all over the place. Anyhow, and then, so my plan this morning had been to talk about whatever interests you a little bit, but also to continue what I started last week, which is doing the work for the Mad Mondays newsletter videos. That worked out so well for me that I want to do it again, although I'm even less prepared this week than I was last week. So that'll be an interesting thing to see happen. And I'm kind of torn as to whether to do that first or since, I mean, if I was starting at 6 a.m., I would do that first, I think, but because we're so late in the day, I don't know. What do you think? Hi there. Good morning. I'm in a really bad mood. I've barely even had this yet. What a day. And then I'm also wondering about, I've been repodcasting this as audio. I don't know how much listen it's really getting. I've had a few people say they like it. And so then I'm like worried about like, this is the most useless podcast right now. Like right now, this first 5 minutes, what a waste of your time to even be a part of it. Oh my goodness. And now this is, I'm afraid I'm going to pull something out and mess it all up if I'm not careful here. I can't see your comments because the screen is too far away. Ay, 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 ay. What do we got here? A salutations and a good morning and a Murphy's Law. And a good morning and a good morning and a morning to you. And Oh no, I'm late. Good morning. No, you're really not. You're right on time because I'm late. And so yeah, we just got this thing running here. And one of the things I want to talk about a little bit is this ongoing insularity thing. I want to bring that back up. I got a really great email from someone with a lot of good thoughts about it, and I was encouraged by that, but I don't know if I'm ready to talk about that. And one of the new things, by the way, on the question page, I got this from Wolfmuller, is you have an option to say don't use this live. and so that email, I think due to personal nature, and it makes sense, doesn't want that. But I still want to talk about some of the ideas that were brought up because I think it's just so important. I haven't played ELCA tennis with Brian for a while, and so really wanting to try to find a way to get into that video too. But anything that we do this morning is going to involve you waiting while I figure out where it is on my computer as well. I'm so unprepared. I'm coming back on – I'm on the back end of a two-week stint where 1 week I took an actual almost honest-to-goodness vacation. And you might have seen some of the steampunk pictures. That was a whole lot of fun, by the way. Although I was a little disappointed in the Kansas City Ren Fair for this 1 weekend that's supposed to be, you know, bring your steampunk. I'd say 2% of the attending public had a steampunk jive going on. It was supposed to be from all sorts of times and places, and they had fairies and all this whatever, which is cool, right? But I wanted steampunk land. And anyway. So that was fun. But then this last week I did what's called a quarterly review, although I barely got to that. So every quarter I think is really important to kind of reassess where you are in life, what you're trying to achieve. Take whatever goals you set for your last 3 months and say, well, how much of that did I do? You know, do I still want to even try? Do I like feeling guilty looking at this every week or so? That kind of thing. I did very little of that. I worked instead on digital information management. Oh my goodness. What an absolute disaster it is to try to make. Maybe you don't care. Like Maybe for you, you just use Google all the time, right? So you're like, well, if Google loses it, I guess it's gone for good. I'm not like that though. And I used to think everyone was not like that, but I'm kind of thinking maybe I'm a little weird on this one. And that has to do with, I took something called the Gallup Strengths Finder. I really recommend this, by the way, if you're into self-awareness and development or team development. Really great tool, way better than Myers-Briggs. And it gives you like a top five strengths in this pack of like 34 different things. And one of the things apparently I do is collect stuff. like information. Like I'm like, I treat information the way you might treat, I don't know, Beanie Babies. But that means that living in the digital age is ridiculous. There's just no way to do it. And so I keep trying to, you know, I want this link. I want to come back to this later. I want this and that. And then what about this little article? And, you know, I remember this tool that I was shown by one of my profs. I thought it was such a cool thing. It was a way to keep your file library organized. And it was paper-based. It was a book. And it had a way for you to, rather than label your files by any sort of, you wouldn't like alphabetize your files or whatever. It was all by number. But then you could, somehow the way the book worked, you'd write it down at the number, but then you had a way that the book itself would cross-reference the numbers with content. So you could find stuff really quickly. But you can't do that with the internet. I mean, does it work? I remember giving up on that really quick. Anyhow, so I had this pile. One tool I was using, I could probably even show you this. Let's see if I could show you this. Hold on. We're going to go here. And if I do this, what happens? Do we just, we end up in really interesting places in my YouTube stuff. All right. And let's go here then and hit this guy. One tab. So I ended up, that's kind of cool. Okay, so I was using this thing called OneTab. I don't know if I recommend ever doing this again. So what I would do is if I found a link that I really wanted to come back to, I'd throw it into OneTab. Because if you hit OneTab up over here, you guys can see that. If you hit it up where my mouse is over here, it takes all your tabs and it turns them into links in a pile right over here. That's super cool until you have like 300 links and you haven't looked at any of them. And like, you know that at least five of them are really important. Oh my goodness. That took like 7 hours to get through all that. And, what came out of it here, this is just, a list of book summaries from one website. So this is pretty cool. You can take all the links and turn them into a web page. So I could delete this, I think. In fact, I'm going to do that right now. And because I've shared that web page as, a toilet place. So my file folders, I discovered these file folders in your tab bar. That's fantastic. Oh my goodness. I just discovered that. So this is like what I want to read. So, you know, if I'm on the toilet and I don't want to look at Twitter, I can go to my book summaries page. There they are. See? And even though I deleted it from OneTab, I've got a list of links. So that's a pretty cool little feature there. But I really don't recommend using OneTab just to store stuff in general. And even though it's there, I'm going to try to keep this thing at inbox zero because holy moly, I don't want that to happen again. That was painful. So I came back from, I was like doing that kind of stuff all week. I was doing that with my digital files on my hard drive and on my, external hard drive. And like what I really, really, really want to get my MP3s so that I kind of can listen to what I want. And I know a lot of people subscribe to, various streaming services. So you probably just don't even think about it, but I can't justify paying a streaming service for music. I got too many subscriptions as it is. And then I have music that I really like. I only want to listen to what I have, right? I just need it organized so I can find it and playlist it. And there's no such thing. There is no such thing as a good MP3 player on iOS. Although, God, I mean, I've been looking and looking. I've narrowed it down here a little bit. Vox ain't bad. Vox ain't bad. Cesium, very dated looking. It's okay. I bought it a long time ago and forgot about it. It's okay. And then this FUBAR, FOOBAR, it's got such a cool little icon. Can you guys see this? I don't know if you can see the little alien cat. That's FUBAR. I want to use it just for that. But then managing playlists is really a pain in the butt. So Vox so far has got this collection feature, which I'm liking. Anyhow, I'm not even close to that, right? And then you got the actual, like, work, paper stuff and planning. It's overwhelming, isn't it, living in this age? Maybe not. Maybe you don't care about keeping any of the content. Maybe that's not something that bothers you and you just kind of float from piece to piece. And I would say if that is you, like, rejoice. Rejoice that you don't care. Don't try to be like me. Don't hear me saying I'm better. Because this is not the time for collectors. It really is not. Man. Oh my goodness. All right. What are you saying over here? What are you saying? I cannot read any of that. I have a screen that I gave to my kids and I need to set that up in here. My attempt at, just speaking of things, my attempt at a studio. If you notice, it's a closet. I'm in a closet. Pastor Fisk is in the closet. Yeah. No, not like that. No, just in his house. Sometimes you got to open the door to make sure you don't suffocate. Yeah. I had these things behind me on the wall. And because there's like this space right here, right? You can't really put them up well. So I tried like attaching them to each other and on the far wall, but not in a way that ruins them because they're just this like, I mean, it's really cool. CPH gave me these foam board printouts of my book covers and they fell. I wasn't here at least, but they're just on the ground. So anyway, studio, trying to get this to look somehow like it's on purpose here and not really having a lot of luck. And then kind of deciding that I didn't like the standing thing anyway. So I got my side camera's like way up over here. It's not even plugged in. I can plug it in and show you what it's looking like. Oh, but then it can't even plug in from that far away apparently, or barely can. And the wires are pulling on each other. Oh my goodness. Let's see if we can get that other camera up. There we go. Oh, look at that. What a view. That's beautiful. It's exactly what we need right now. So that all came out of, I do have a larger screen that my kids are using for the old Mac Mini that we have. And I should set that up in here so I can see your comments without having to do this. Comments, my old eyeballs. Old eyeballs. More. Ooh, that's an interesting thing right here. I wonder if I can link that at some point. Lutheran Ninja Clan. Cool, except no longer, right? That was very connected to something else. But let's see if we can get over to this thing. Yamabe, who's hanging out down here. Can I do it like that? No, I can't. I have to go back to this to get Yamabe. You know, and on that comment right there, most podcast interviews being mindless banter. I can't stand that. So there's a podcast I really want to listen to by a guy who I find really interesting. And the documentary he just produced, which is really good, will be in the Mad Mondays links. That's the wrong thing here. I'm looking on my phone. You can't see it. I'm looking on my phone for this podcast. But I was really curious about a number of topics. Fitness Confidential with Vinny Tortorik. And like, the first two episodes I download, the whole thing was mindless banter. He's a smart dude. He's got a lot to say. And it's like, they were just wasting my time. Anyhow, Brian here, good fella, helps out with a couple of things behind the scenes. He pointed me to, this majigger. Let's see. I got to get over to it. If I go here, is that it? There it is. This is barely in utero here. Go to two. It didn't work. What happened? Back to this. There we go. Go to this and this. You know, Ecamm, I should not have to be on this page to be able to hotkey my changes. Really shouldn't. All right. So this is a pretty cool little tool called something networks. I don't know. But if you go to this up here, I may be changing the name. We'll see. But it's a way that I can begin to create an online community that, is not like all about, you know, Fisk, whatever. But you know, at the center of which is the stuff I'm doing and my conversations with you. And there'll be a way to, to join it. It's sort of like a private Facebook, right? For a group focused on one thing. It's pretty spiffy. And there'll be a way for me to eventually create content that you could either buy or I could give away and all this stuff. So if you feel like going and just digging into that, this was all in response to this other comment, right? Where'd it go? Did I lose that comment? Where'd it go? Oh, Luther Ninja Clan. Oh, well, that's because it's on this. That's why I lost that comment. There it is. So yeah, I don't know what to call it. I had it as Mad Christian Network. I've got this really cool Latin phrase I've been thinking about using, which would be like super, super secret, but we'll see. I don't know. I barely looked at that. That's one of those links, right? So I had that in that pile of 300 links to go find. Oh, man. Oh, here's some other ones. I'm really excited about these ones, but there's three of them and I'm not sure which one to use. So, there are three apps. See my gray? See my gray? I finally figured this out too. One, two, three. Oh, I love it. Oh, it's so cool. I love it. I forget about it, but I love it. That was really hard to find how to do that. Someone sent me an email telling me, and then that wasn't how, but finally figured it out. It's down, way down in the accessibility features. Anyhow, so this is my my resiliency folder on my iPhone, right? And you can see the waking up app. Can you even, if I put my, no, you can't really see my thing if I do that, right? I can't point at the screen. Oh, well. You can see the waking up app, Sam Harris, which I'm about to cancel. Oh. There's probably a way to do this. Oh, come on, Jonathan. Without having to like, oh, there is. There's that app. Ha ha. I found an app for managing your iPhone, all the content on it without even going through iTunes. Cause as good as Apple is, dear heavens, iTunes. What on earth? It's just so bad. Anyhow. So, just tangent. Let's see here. Where are we? And now I'm all over the place. Where's my main map? There you are, right there. Let's see. We're gonna go back to this, and then if I do this, nope, wrong one. In my neck stretches. There we go. Dear Mob, I wonder if you can see that or not. Oh yeah, I wonder if you could still hear me when I did that. So Dear Mob, and AnyTrans, and Walter are apps that were in that pile for managing your iPhone content, and they're all pretty good. Walter does something very different than AnyTrans and Dear Mob, but they all require a rather hefty price tag. Dear Mob, you can at least buy it once and for all for too much money, but otherwise it's all subscriptions. That's like $40 a year, and it's just, come on. Shouldn't you be able to manage? But with that said, wrong one. See, my neck stretches again. Trying to stop hunching my back. AnyTrans is really sweet. Let's see if we can get it up. Yeah. It's so cool. Like, you can get into your screen. Where is that? I might have to attach my phone to be able to do it. You can, like, manage your screen from in here and everything. It's sweet. But it's, you know, 45 or 50 bucks a month for, like, one user. It's just ridiculous. Anyhow, so blah, that was all. If I had that, I do have it. The trial's like done almost, but it was like a 1 day trial. But I could show you this on the screen a lot easier. Anyway, so in the middle is my waking up app. That's the Sam Harris meditation app. If you are going to get into mindfulness ever as a Christian, I really recommend his approach because his stuff is secular. And so he's generally unspiritual, although he touches on it sometimes. So I recommend subscribing, going through his intro class of 50, and then stopping. That's what I'm now doing. And I'm going to start making use of some other things. The Oak app here is pretty decent for breathing exercises and just timing your mindfulness, your resiliency. But it is I can't really speak to the quality of the guided stuff on that. Melly is my new friend here, the panda bear. Melly's fun, although it's still super Buddhist. But you get this like little screen with like little animals and little river, and then you can like build on it. It's gamifying the breathing, but basically it's a lot of breathing. So you know, you can set as one of my favorite ones: breathe in for 4, breathe out, or hold for 7, breathe out for 8, and you can set that to time For a certain amount of time, you get this little animal that sits on the screen while you do it. You get the points that let you build the build. So that house, I built the house. Where is it? There's the house. Although they called it a temple, but that's my house. Anyhow, this was all attempting to get to. So those are my resiliency apps I have been using. But then I knew I had a link to something, and then I couldn't. That link had disappeared, but I knew it was out there. That there are these apps that are using brain science and the development of the study of things like Alzheimer's to create tools for strengthening your cognitive resources to prevent cognitive degenerative disease. And they are they work. Like they're shown to work. So if you really want to read up on it, go. Oh, come on. Where's my – I should have a way to do – where's that window? You want to go Google. I'm going to try to put it on the screen so that you can – oh, it's hiding. That's why. Overlay. Let's do it here. That's not right. Can I just make one? There's got to be an easier way to do this. I'm not very prepared. I'm going to remember what we're talking about though. God, no. Oh, here. That's why. It's right there. Yeah. If you Google – I'm going to spell it wrong too. Because neuro is a hard word to spell. Google NeuroRacer and read up on what NeuroRacer is. You can't get it, which is really frustrating to me. They sold the technology to a company, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, it's pretty sweet. Although, then, these other apps, they purport to be doing similar kinds of things. So you got Lumosity is the orange one. You can't resume it. It's too close to my camera. Lumosity is the orange one. I'll put these on the screen with words in a moment. Peak is the one in the middle with the notification on it. And then you got Elevate there. And God, I spent probably an hour and a half yesterday morning going through the opening tutorial of all of these. Let's see if I can multitask. It's – nope, I can't. Lumosity, Peak, and Elevate. Going through the opening tutorials of these. And by and large, let's see here. Peak and Lumosity are more or less the same thing. And they're both pretty sweet. You have – it. Oh, I should say this. It's all gamified. The whole thing is little mini games you play on your phone for 15 minutes a day. And there's about five games they'll take you through a day. It's a regiment. Then it begins recommending various games to improve those cognitive things you can't do. So I think my favorite game I played was on Lumosity, and it was these trains. So you had this train house up in the corner, and colored trains would come out of it. And you had like five or six little train depots that were the right colors for the trains, and you had to get them to go to it. But you had a number of switches that were going on, and they didn't all line up. So you were like sitting there with your thumb, like hitting the switches and trying to track the colors and see where it's going to go. And it was hard, you know, and it was a game, but it was then working on remembering while keeping attention on other things all at the same time, which is as a tool, right? Trying to keep your brain sharp. However, having said that, that was my favorite game. Lumosity was not my favorite app. I think my favorite app, well, and that's the thing, Lumosity and Peak more or less do the same thing, same kind of games. Lumosity, from what I can see, but I got to look at it again, you basically have to pay the subscription to do it. And you get a free trial of 14 days or whatever, and then subscribe or else. Whereas Peak, it seems, I could be wrong about this though, I still got to look at it, but Peak, it would seem, you have a free version you can use that's limited, but you can keep using it. Because subscriptions just add up, right? And I want my kids to use this. I want my wife to use this. Like at $8 a month for seven people. Jeez. Although I also just discovered that you can share some things on iTunes Family or whatever. I don't know if these apps will work. I really hope so. That'd be cool. But then I really want Elevate. But because it's so different. Because Elevate was literally math and language. It was like gamifying the SAT. I don't know if you're too young, you took the ACT or whatever, gamifying the test without it really feeling too much like the test, but it was some of the same sort of stuff. So you were having to like, you had like these bubbles with like 2/3 over here and 66% over there, and then another number over here, and you had to figure out, you know, which ones were the same number. That was hard. I mean, not the 2/3, 66, but man, that one got hard fast. Also, all of these apps, they respond to your strength, right? So at whatever level you're able to go, it'll real time up and down the difficulty to push you. It's so cool. I'm actually, so that was, you know, finding these again, and then testing them out. I'm going to keep testing them out. And right now Peak is in the lead, but Elevate, the stuff that you were able to do with math, I said this probably, I would say it's 25 years ago now. I'm 41. What would have been 25 years ago? It would have been 16. No, there's no way it was that. It wasn't 25 years. Was I 16? This is how bad it is. I'm actually going to use a calculator to make sure I'm right about that. This demonstrates the problem. 25, yeah, 16, no. 15 years ago, when I was 26, I remember feeling something and then beginning to talk about it to at least three different people. And it was somehow I'd been learning about, you know, the right brain, left brain thing, where you have the creative side and you have the logical side, right? And hold on, let's see. Creative is right brain? Now I want to check that out to find out if that's even true. That's a pop-up I didn't really want to see right now. Let's see. I suppose I should go on record and see if my feeling is even right. So this could be really embarrassing. Here we go. So I'm pretty confident it's left brain is your math and right brain is your creative, but maybe it's really wrong. But the reason is because I can literally feel this side's not working as well. And I haven't been doing math for a long time. I was good at math at one point. It was kind of really a good thing, but I do logical stuff. So maybe now I'm going to look it up. How wrong am I? Let's find out. Let's see. We need to go before I go to internet. I need to switch first because it won't let me do it once I'm over there. And now I can't see anything. There we go. Let's see. And this could all be junk science too, right? I don't even know. Is left brain, right brain junk science? What's the difference? Healthline. Which website are we looking at? Is Healthline trustworthy? I don't know. They seem to be. They come up high in the things. At approximately 3 pounds. The brain is so fascinating. There's a whole section on brain chemistry in my new upcoming book from CPH, Without Flesh. And why would I put a book on brain chemistry in Without Flesh? A book about the Lord's Supper. Why would I do that? Oh, it's so cool. It's like my favorite chapter. I don't even want to give it away. It's really cool though. Two halves, blah, blah, blah. Two sides, they look alike. Yeah, of course they do. They're connected to nerve fibers. Yes, they are. Okay. Left brain, right brain. Okay. Oh, so the right side's your creative and the left side's your math. Right? Right? Yep. See? I'm not embarrassed. I have, in fact, look at my emails now. Jeez. Don't go screenshot that. since I stopped doing math in college, I have felt that right now I can tell you that this side of my head, if I like try to think, how does that feel to think with over there? It's like goo. It's like gooey. And over here, it's like a sword. It's like a sharp implement. I can use it. And when I was 26, I started saying like, man, I just want to go take a math class, which is weird because as good as I was at math in high school, like I skirted my way to B pluses and A minuses, not doing the homework and studying for the exams alone. You know, I was really bad. I like copied homework from the girl next to me for 3 years. Anyway, terrible. As capable as I was at it, I always like hated it. And so I didn't do it. That's why I didn't do the homework, right? And then I kind of figured out how to study by reading the book to do the questions in college, which was a neat thing. That was pretty neat. Like the book told you how to do the work and then you did the work and it always worked. That's the nice thing about math. And anyhow, so I figured that out right like as I was done with college. I didn't do it. Didn't have any math. So I was like, oh, I should just go take a math class because my brain hurts. Like, it's not working. I can feel it turning to goo. And so that's what, again, tangent. That is what this app Elevate does. Oh, I just opened it. I better not do that. It'll start doing stuff. All right. So all of that coming from this. Yeah. Yeah. You didn't know what you were getting into this morning, did you? I like re-listening to the audio of this show. Wow. All right. Cool. That's good. To watch it and listen is, that's commitment. 12 week year. Did I say that? That's a weird thing to say. Just throwing this out there in your copious free time. It would be so awesome to see you take a piece of entertainment. And yeah, that's what my wife wants me to do. She wants with the podcast to at least once a month have me go see a movie or a TV show or something. Then she wants to interview me. We did that for the Star Wars thing, that 3.5 hour beast of a podcast. The trick would be with that, there's enough other things that are needed on the podcast that that gets pushed to the side a little bit. So one of the questions is like, you know, how often can I do the podcast? Right now, the income stream is tied to the podcast. So how would I do more official podcasts and not charge more, right? And so we've got the Patreon thing set up so that, you know, per podcast is charging. And I could just only charge so many a month anyway. Then that gets into my motivation a little bit, which I don't want to do. Because as much as I'm motivated to do this because it's good, you know, the carrot and stick, you know, they both, the stick helps sometimes. Speaking of which, the podcast is not out for this week. It's almost done. I just have to put it up. That was another thing I didn't do this week. But, yeah, I agree. I'd love to do more of that kind of analysis. You know, it's almost like I need a daily radio. Wait, oh, don't say that. That was just a different world. We did a Gallup at work last year. I'm a collector too. Information and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. It's great until it's not. So I'm also now a minimalist. So it's interesting to watch my brain try to compile minimalism and this. What was it? Is it input is the collector? Let's see here if I can find this and bring it up. Without showing you my world. I'm always worried about giving away like private information here. I'm booting up a program in which I keep my information about this particular thing. So let's close those windows. Probably can't get too much out of that. And go to this guy. Oh, well, that's disturbing. There should be more. Oh, there we go. It's like, there should be more there. Let's see. That's goals. You guys don't need those. There we go. Strengths finder. There we go. It really is a fascinating. Let's see. I have to go back to this. Do it like this. Flip over here. All right. The 34 different things. You can Google a Gallup Strengths Finder. And they all are strengths. The idea is that these are not weaknesses, although you will not have certain strengths because of your strengths. You can't have all 34 of them. And so learning what your strengths are enables you to play to your strengths. That is to set up hacks or tools, situations where your strength will be active, as opposed to a pretty common and wrong way of going about things, which is to try to fix your weaknesses. That's like, I'll say it this way, the science is in on that one and it doesn't work. Yeah. So if you're a business and you're like, well, we're weak in this area, let's get strong in this area. You're not going to. LCMS going door to door? Anybody? Yeah? Not the place to put your effort. Instead, play to your strength. Anyhow, I found it pretty helpful. So, achiever is my number one. Go figure, right? Getting things done matters to me. Let's see here. Activator. This is like, trying to, start new stuff, right? You learn by doing rather than by talking about it. Competitor. What an interesting thing to be a competitor. I feel guilty even leaving it up there. It's like it's wrong somehow. Basically, what this one means is that you only assess yourself by being able to measure your performance against another. Right. So the meter that you use requires someone else on the meter so you can know whether you need to improve or not. And So winning is value, which is kind of a sad thing. One of my kids definitely has this, and she's fantastic. But I mean, like, second doesn't count, right? But it also, the strength of it is that in that, it brings out the best in you. So it spurs you to achieve, and so forth. So it connects with my achiever one pretty well. But then let's get down to the, is it absorber or where's the title of that one? Or is it input? No. Where'd the title of that one go? Shoot. I lost that one. It's all scrolling too fast, right? Learner. I lost my title. Let's get that in here. Learner. So, lady who a moment ago said you also have it, were you the learner or were you the absorber? I forget which one's the collector. I think the absorber is the collector. Let's see. Or input, right, is what that one's actually called. Natural collectors. There you go. Because you just want the raw knowledge. You don't want to lose it. I got to be able to find it again. Lean toward archiving. I'm going to archive the internet in my spare time. That's what I've been working on. Got a project. And then the learner, is you want that information, in order to build on it. So the archiver, if you didn't have a learner, the archiver could just be content having it, right? There's the stuff. Yay, I have stuff. I have a strength. One of my strengths is that I also am using that stuff in order to learn, in order to what, right? In order to achieve, because I need to be able to, I need to be able to win in order to find my personal value. The good news is that as I go along, I tend to catalyze other people in my madness. Yeah. What a thing, huh? So I highly recommend, that test. It is a little expensive. If you talk your business into doing it for you. Did Siri just make noise? What on earth? Talk your business into doing it for you. Then that's a good thing. But it's, I want to use it for like my whole church council because it so gives you insight into how people think and why, like why it would matter. I used it for these two young guys that I'm working with. They're doing a little theological training. They're thinking about entering the ministry someday. 18-year-old or 19-year-old. Good kids. Good young men. And they're doing a lot of work for me. And so we paid to have them take it so that I could see where their strengths are. It was really interesting how they tied together in one way and then they each tied to me in a different way. But then there's this place of non-overlap. And so trying to assign things that I know are going to be to their strengths and whatnot in terms of getting things done is really a cool tool. Anyhow, so yes, that was all out of the Gallup stuff. Gallup Strengths Finder, Strength Finders. You could also, there's two books, and you don't want the one that's the Strengths Finders one because it's almost not a book. It's just the test. What was the other one that talked about that, though? There was another one that was connected to it. It wasn't Why Work Sucks and How to Fix It, but it came out of that. It certainly wasn't Your Best Life Now. It's like that. It's like Strengths Something Now. Let's see. Where did my internet go? Is that this one here? Yeah. Okay. So come back to this. Flip over. Come over here. Strengths Finder Now. I don't even know. I should go to Amazon first. What is it called? Amazon. You can see all my recommended things from Amazon. What was it? It was about managing people with different strengths. Management, Strengths, Gallup. It's a really good book. One of the best ones I read in terms of, come on, what the heck? Okay. It's not Is the Manager, Strengths-Based Leadership. There it is. That's it. First Break All the Rules. What a good book. I think I have that on Audible. I should listen to that again. That's a really good book. If you're into business management at all, fantastic. It basically says all the rules of management that you're taught to do as managers, don't do that. There's other stuff you should be doing instead because you really don't want to ruin the souls of your employees. You want them to love you and work hard for you. And all the things that managers think they're supposed to do, they don't do that. They actually just ruin people's lives. That's why everyone hates their boss, and the boss is a joke, right? It's a joke on TV. So anyhow, If you are an overlord in some capacity, I highly recommend that book. And I would recommend getting your main team connected to the Strengths Finders if you can do that. It will it will benefit you. All right, so let's see here. It's a good morning in the sides. Some more good mornings. Good mornings. Yeah. So information scientist husband affirms what you said. REMP3. Yeah. It's frustrating. I don't know. Maybe Google's better. Like, you would think with everything we've got right now in terms of the ability of this little machine to talk to this little, I can send text messages on my Mac. I love it. It's great. So why can't I just drag and drop MP3s onto playlists on this? Why do I have to go through this weird as heck backwards? I mean, it's like Windows 95 is what iTunes makes me think of. Oh, it's just terrible. And there's anything that's out there that's supposed to like be better as an MP3 player on your phone. Once you get it on your phone, which is hard enough without it duplicating stuff and then turning it all into proprietary stuff so you can't move it again. I mean, it's just, geez, I bought it. Can I please use it now? All the other apps are like these super driven ad apps, or these like it's subscription like free music from the internet, but you don't have to pay for it ever. And it's like, well, I really don't trust you, and I really don't want that anyway because I just want my MP3s. Why can't I just play them? Why is it so hard? So frustrating. And it's like, when do you find the time to figure that out? That's where I should say, let's go back to this. Oh, no, hold on. Let's go here. Now, this was working all week, and now my tap is not working. I wonder if it's because I have my mouse connected. Oh, for Pete's sake. Because that was – it's another tool I have called Better Touch Tool, which is pretty sweet. It allows you to set up a whole bunch of – I'm going to get rid of this. I'm printing out some just let me delete it, pages. Printing out some stretches and exercises for my wall. Now, okay, I was looking for something. No, okay, that's not the one I want. Can we get there? There we go. I didn't mention ever what Walter does. So like Dear Mob and AnyTrans lets you control what's on your iPhone the way iTunes ought to. And really, Apple should just do it itself. This is ridiculous that they don't. But then Walter is pretty cool. It does let you just drag and drop, like literally – come on, Ecamm. Of all the things you do so well, letting me change my screen is so hard. Although I wonder, I got a tool over here that I used to use a lot of. Oh, I wonder if it's set up. Can I just do it? Oh, let's test that right now. Nope, that didn't do it. Nope, that didn't do it either. So, and I'm where it should be to make that happen. I must have moved those buttons. Bummer. Anyhow, Walter 2, you can just drag and drop an MP3 onto your iPhone. Poof! It goes into your music library. Just poof! It's great, right? Wireless, Bluetooth, whatever. That's only $40 a year to have that app available to you, you know. Jeez. You know, nickel and diming you to death, man. If you notice this, I find this really interesting. The problem of our shrinking middle class, which I would put myself in, I think. I'm definitely middle class, no question. Privileged as the day is, medium length and not having enough time in the day. The thing is not the one expensive thing I want to buy, and by expensive I mean like that $300 thing that's just really neat, right? I bought an exercise bow. Actually, I should show you this. Hold on. This thing's pretty cool. Oh, my headphones came off. See if I can get it here. Upside down. It's called the Gorilla Bow. It's got these bands on it. They are latex bands and different strengths, right? So these are like these tester 90-pound ones that they sent me because I was disappointed that the 50-pound ones, well, that's great for like one arm and stuff. But when you're trying to do some push-ups, depending on who you are, I need a little more weight. And so that was a $300 purchase, right? That's not the thing that's going to hurt my family. But we do that sometimes, right? You fit that in. It's the piling up $8, $20, $40, and $70 monthly things. That's where you die. That's where it all goes. Man, and you just can't strip that stuff away fast enough. And you get to the bottom and they're like, that went up this month. Why? Why is gas going up so much, right? That kind of thing. And so that's where I'm like, on this, I will not subscribe to more stuff plan. And as it is, I want to cancel what I am subscribed to. Even though they're small, those things really add up, and they're what hit your bottom line over the course of the year. The one-time purchase is a one-time purchase. You bought it. You knew you were going to buy it. Here it is. You know, you see the money, you spend it. The subscriptions, man, they just eat at you. And I'm saying this as someone who, you, God willing, are throwing me $6 or $20 a month, right? It is. You do want to be careful with those, as they do add up. They do add up. All right. So as I tell you not to subscribe to me on Patreon, not to help me out. Dear heavens, Jonathan, be quiet. Let's see here. We already did that. Yep. That was all out of that one. Let's see here. iHeartRadio, because that's not really for your MP3s, right? Maybe it is. I don't know. That was like one of the first apps I tried way, way back, and I've never gone back to it. So maybe it's better than it used to be. I don't know much. Are you about to release a new book? Yes, in February, at the speed of CPH. Only what? I think about a year. It takes them about a year. I think I gave it to them last January. And they'd spent a lot of time on it, which is good. You know, they go through with the fine tooth comb. There's a couple of more recent, edits that my editor didn't find. I think that the typesetter editor found, and one of them was like this word in the middle of a sentence and it made no sense. I mean, my editor Scott's like, what does this mean? And I'm like, I don't know. So they do a lot of that, and then the art connected to it. I don't know what the inside's gonna look like yet. I know we did some work on trying to pull out, like, every three pages there should be a quote from within the text that's amplified in some way. And the cover was in my newsletter last week. So if you're not going to sign up for the newsletter, you're not going to get the goodies. You know, that's what I got on that. But yeah, so February, that thing should be out. Barring a doctrinal review fight, which happened with one of my books and not with the others. So I have no idea what will happen. So you're talking about iHeartRadio, I hope, rather than me. More good mornings. Good morning, Dean. Dean's online. How about the Mad Lutheran Ninja Network? Yeah, I like ninjas still. They're cool. See, you know, sometimes when you build something and then it falls down, you just don't really want to build with the same toys anymore, right? When someone comes and knocks over your little blocks, not that that's what happened, right? But the blocks fell down. By the way, who gave me the dislike again? So friendly. I'm so arrogant that I like think I should not have a dislikes. That's ridiculous. So you know, when your blocks fall down, you're like, I don't want to play with the blocks anymore. So ninjas are still cool. Dragons are still cool. I love all that stuff. I don't know. It just, the taste just needs to be different for me. So what where did I write that down? It's somewhere where I will find it. There's a Latin phrase that I think is pretty sweet, which I kind of am thinking about using. But the thing is, Mad Christian is going to be the brand. I really like that. It works well. So Mad Christian Network just sort of fits. You know, Mad Christian Ninjas. I don't know. What I the goal here a little bit is to break out of some boxes and cross some barriers without, you know, letting go of our roots here. And to do that, I think there needs to be a little less goofball in the process. Maybe not. I don't know. So what does that mean? You're gray. No, that was on Facebook. All the comments got blocked. I don't know what that means, that you're gray. Don't forget to consider joining Fist. Yes, thank you. as I tell you about subscriptions and how bad they are. Nasty blizzard in South Dakota. Well, it is South Dakota. What do you expect? Actually, it's, I should say, it's better than North Dakota. It's farther south than North Dakota. barely. God bless you people, though. What a great part of the country. What a beautiful part of the country. I do miss elements of that area. I loved Fargo. Fargo was great. What's the number in scripture just as a number versus something? When is it versus something more symbolic? I'm thinking Revelation 20. When it tells you it is. That's the answer to that one, right? When is a number in scripture just a number? When is it something symbolic? When the text tells you it's just a number, or it tells you it's just symbolic. How do you know? Well, you have to be attentive to what you're reading. Is what you're reading a historical statement, or is what you're reading a giant flaming picture of theological epicness? Right? In which, if you take that number literally, you actually destroy dogma by the end of the day. You end up ruining and removing core elements of what we know to be clear. Is it a clear text? Is it an unclear text? You know, if Jesus takes five loaves and two fish, then he took five loaves and two fish, and it does add up to seven, but he actually did it, right? Whereas the thousand-year reign of Christ, after which what? The devil rebels? Jesus loses? That doesn't really fit. It's going to be on earth, and then it won't actually fix the earth, and then it's only for like the Jews? Like, how, what? Like, you just end up going deeper and deeper. Oh, and the Jews aren't saved by Jesus' actual atonement? What? Like, I mean, that's not all pre-mills are going that way. But, you know, because of the trail, it leads you a little bit down. But then even more important than that, you know, because the context says, hey, these numbers don't mean literal things. And the place for that is chapter one. And we're actually going to be talking about that really soon on the Wednesday night thing. So super short version, you know, Jesus shows up and he's standing there and he's crazy looking, like Old Testament God, kind of crazy looking. And John's like, oh my goodness. And he falls on his face. Jesus says, get up, brother. And, what you doing? Yeah, I'm your king. It's just the truth. But look, I got seven lampstands and seven stars. And do you want to know what that means? John's like, yeah, I want to know what that means. Well, the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Duh. And the seven stars, those are the angels of the seven churches. So, yeah. And see, maybe if you watched on Wednesday already, you're like, why does he keep harping on there's more than seven churches in Asia Minor? Why does he keep saying that? Well, because there's more than seven churches in Asia Minor. So if Jesus is in the middle of the seven lampstands that are the seven churches, where's the other churches? Oh, it's a symbol. Oh, they're not even lampstands, because the lampstands are a symbol too. Oh, it's all symbols. Oh, yes, the mystery. And then maybe you should like pay attention to how that works the rest of the book. It's like, it's right there. Like, oh, it's a book of symbols. Oh, it told you. Yeah. So that's how, we'll do more of that in the future here. If I change the name, I will not change the name to whatever you're worried about. If you're talking about the network thing that was set up, you would not have to resubscribe. If you're talking about YouTube, YouTube's going to stay exactly what it is. And if we change the name of my podcast on Podbean or whatever, however you go through iTunes, you'll stay subscribed to that. So Patreon, I don't think I'm changing the name there. So, let's see here. The cognitive stuff. That's probably back on the Gallup stuff. Yeah. Yeah, this isn't bad. Although, yeah, I mean, you don't want to ignore the shadow. The number of times third day shows up in the Old Testament is rather stunning, right? But I wouldn't use that as my real rule of thumb for is it historical or not, because you could use it the other way and basically say, well, it's teaching Jesus, so it's not historical, and they changed it. And that's actually the move the liberals make a number of times. So, those apps sound like bad co-o church names. That's the truth. Oh, it's funny, Peak. Lumosity. Come to Lumosity Church. That's exactly right. No Oxford comma. I think I use it sometimes. That's just a response. Man, I'm never going to catch up to you guys. Number is not a legitimate literal number constraint. Yeah. That's the thing. We just talked about that already. Reverend. Do you think board games would do the same function as these apps? Yes. but they're more difficult to do every day on a schedule, right? Absolutely. So there's a, I don't know how to point you to this. I watched this series of videos on Alzheimer's prevention. Really interesting. It's amazing how much nutrition plays into this thing, and we won't go there for now. They talked about these areas of life that compile to increase your chances of developing Alzheimer's or other cognitive degenerative diseases like unto Alzheimer's, that is, those which impact the mind's ability to think, either by a hardening of the mind, like literally a hardening, or a ceasing to connect. And I have reason in my family's genealogy to, you know, care about this a little bit. And nothing to worry about at the moment, but I should care, right? And so I don't remember the five different I have it all written down somewhere in my archives. One of them is certainly exercise. So if you are daily doing some activity physically, you are less likely to have Alzheimer's, just percentage wise. You decrease it pretty significantly. One of them is lowering your sugar intake. If you have less sugar, you're less likely to get Alzheimer's, just straight up. Diabetes is a marker that connects almost directly to Alzheimer's in like percentage-wise. So, you know, your nutrition is part of it. There were five areas. One is stress load. And so the recommendations for some form of mental relaxation, lowering the cortisol levels, not by pumping melatonin into your mouth, but finding tools to actually do that. So again, the resiliency, mindfulness stuff is connected to that. But then there's two more, and one of them is this mental training regimen, finding something to do, crossword puzzles, Sudoku, right? Those are those things too. And definitely board games, and not chutes and ladders, right? We're not talking Uno. We're talking games where you have to try to do better, right? You can't, the competitive nature of me would say have to try to win. You don't have to try to win, but winning needs to be an option that can be controlled, as opposed to purely just sitting there and, you know, Uno is just like, oh, random cards. Fun. So a board game, a really intensive board game, Risk would be like the low entry level of that. We just played Eclipse on vacation. What a fun game that one is. And I want to get into Gloomhaven at some point. But then how do you do that every day? Like, you can't, right? And so these apps let you in 10 to 15 minutes get that thing going in your head, and it responds in real time to your actual needs and tracks it, right? So that's where it's a tool designed for the long term, whereas the board game is really a tool designed for a Friday night, right? It's just to hang out and have fun. And if you like using your brain to have fun, that's what it does. Yeah. All right. So let's see. We're going to skip the left-handed discussion for the moment. Gotcha. Let's see. Left-handed people are the only ones in there. That's pretty funny. Oh, I like that. I like that. That's good. Let's see. For the rebroadcast, it says, they say that left-handed people are the only ones in their right mind, which is kind of technically true, sort of, unless you're creative. Yeah, right. Cause it is more than one thing. The brain is such a complex thing. I did answer your question. That is correct. Reformed Christian. Left brain, right brain is a theory. Use Google Scholar to get more research. Yeah, I don't have time, but I would believe your assertion that it sounds like we've oversimplified things just a touch. Almost to the level of woo woo, woo 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 woo. Let's see. I'm scrolling way down in the comments here, jumping ahead. Joe, our college required us to do Clifton Strengths, and it was very insightful. The college version doesn't give you as much. Yeah. You don't get as much of a readout. So just so you know that, one of my guys here, he had his paid through the college too, that he's just started going to. And, his readout was about half as much stuff as the other guy that paid the fee through the website. Oh, we just looked at that one. Yeah, okay. Kind of said the same thing twice. Wish I could stay, have an elders meeting. Really? Saturday morning? It's not a bad idea, really, but no one ever wants to meet on Saturday mornings. Why is that? So, God bless. Take care. Netherius, isn't iTunes technically a legacy app now that Apple has stopped selling MP3s? Yeah, probably. Man, the future. The future's not good. Easy background fix for your studio. 3 tension rods with hooks and 3 long curtain panels. My husband is painting it green. Yeah. Yeah, I just have never been able to make the green screen tech work. I did that at one point way back. I've thought about doing that here and having more than one back there. There's a website too where you can print out like a 6x4. What do they call it? It's like a canvas almost, and it was only like $60. So I was all ready to do it, but what do you put on it? And then they're like, you know, well, if this isn't your art, then it's on you and you can't get us sued and we'll sue you. And it's like, well, then what do you put on it? You know? So I just don't know what to put on it. It'd be cool to have something really neat, right? But green screen tech, I don't know, with my hair being as flaky as it is, there's a lot of glowy that seems to happen up in there and you got to get the lighting right and all this. But you're right. It's a good thought. And I will need to think on that a little bit more. Ninja Cell. See, I do still like ninjas. That's just a great name. I could take down Smog with the bow. Yeah, right. I don't think it would work to shoot. They are a little dangerous. If you are not careful, that band can come flying off of there and whip you. And the 90-pound short ones, if you don't put your foot on it, even when you get it off the top, the bottom just comes up suddenly. And I've banged myself in the shin more than once. Oof. Does not feel happy when that happens. I will not bow to any corporate sponsor. Actually, I don't think a corporate sponsor would want me because I would insist on telling the truth about their corporation. But if you had a good corporation, I would gladly stand beside you with a small amount of reverence, acknowledging that you're helping pay for stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. You should consider trademarking Mad Christian. I know. It's on my list. Yeah. And his money, right? And his time. Time's worse than the money. The dislike is a random atheist that's, yeah, it could be. It's gone now, though. Yeah. What I find this interesting. There's a number of you that dislike me when you're trying to like me. And if you don't catch it, it just sits there. So that's why I say it's gone. Someone moved it. So thank you, you who accidentally disliked me. Let's see. Remy Shepherd. That's kind of a cool name too. Board games sound like something we would do down here in the South. Oh man, I was listening to Rogan yesterday while I was trying to do this music work. And, he was talking with Dakota something about all of the wild animals in Texas and California that shouldn't be there. Did I already talk about this with you guys once? Like zebras. You can hunt zebras in the wild. In the southern U.S. And then the pigs, the boars. Apparently there's lots and lots of these wild boars running around now. And they are a blight. They're destroying stuff. And PETA's like, don't kill them. And it's like, they're killing everything else. So, wow. That's an interesting thing. You can Google that one. Google Rogan. Mad Christian Boar Network. Meh. That's interesting. The boar... excuse me. The boar festival. There's something that... There's like a medieval Christian thing connected to boars. Boars in the Vineyard is already a thing, true enough. I like those guys. But all right. You guys are all trying to brainstorm for me over here. You should play the game Go. Don't recall the Japanese name for it. Is that a card game? Is that a video game? Do I know about Here I Stand? It's a Reformation board game. You know, I feel like I do know about that. Is that the one that Roseboro put together? There was something that came out of the Pirate Christian stuff. My experience, and I know one of you has reached out to me about games and Lutheranism / Christianity. My experience is this, however. It's a lot like trying to make contemporary Christian music where you're – who is – is it Frank Hill? Is that his first name, Frank Hill? King of the Hill? He said, you know, you're not making Christianity better. You're making rock and roll worse. Right? I mean, it's kind of tough to have a video game with Jesus in it. And it's kind of tough to have a board game that's Christianity based. Now Wolf Miller's got some ideas he plays with, and if it's a trivia kind of game, right? But strategy wise, my thought instead would be, how do you gamify daily devotions, right? So, I mean, let's go back to our Melly here for a second, right? So when I open my Melly, here is this little river. It's always there. And it was really very barren. Little dude with the tail, he's just a visitor. They show up sometimes and give you free points, which is cool. And then again, the house, I built the house. I built the house with this thing up here, the number that they call karma. Yeehaw, I have karma. That's totally what karma means in religion too, right? It's money that you can spend on stuff. Oh no, it's not at all. Anyhow, they call it karma. And what's up there? What does that do? Oh, your intentions. So the thing is that this little screen, silly as it is, I'm not doing the breathing technique for the screen, but you better believe I always finish the breathing technique so I can get the karma so I can buy the house, right? So how would you take something where instead of a breathing technique, when you go in and you look at, you know, how long you're going to do your little breathing exercise for, where it would be a daily devotional reading, right? Even better if it was read to you with some music. You got copyright issues, of course, that always come into that, which is why no one will do most of this stuff. We don't know how to app develop either, by the way. So that as you know, you do your daily devotion and boom, you get points and boom, you can build something, right? You track and have this little way of, you know, SimCity-ing your cathedral, right? That would work. But that's not usually what we mean when we talk about a Christian game, right? So you're not going to make learning fun if you don't like learning. And you're not going to make suffering fun ever. You can make it worthwhile. So I'm highly skeptical of kind of the standard approach to taking Christianity and just trying to put it into the format of these various media that we have, including games, without also kind of minimizing it. I remember thinking, and I did a video about this way back, where at one of the gatherings aimed at youth in the world, in America, for Lutherans, they had this thing called a persecution simulator. Do you remember this? And this was promoted. Like, it was on one of the, like, this is why you should come videos. And I remember just watching that. And I haven't been as disturbed by many things in life as I was by that video. And I don't think it was their idea. I'm sure they pulled it out of youth work in the world. But I mean, just think about it. They turned the persecution of early Christians, like their deaths, their actual martyrdoms, into a game. Seems like we're not taking it very seriously now, are we? These are the same youth that within 3 years or so had said, like, I promise to die rather than depart from this faith and church into which I now commune. And the same kids that have already begun sleeping with each other and within 2 years won't be going to church anymore. I just don't see how a game helps. And I don't see how it actually isn't the problem. And we don't take it seriously. Yeah. So anything that we would do as Christians to gamify Christian discipleship, you just can't play by the same rules. Or you have to really understand the medium in such a way so that the medium does not become the message, right? You know, can the medium carry your message? That's the question that you need to ask. And we haven't been asking that at all at all. As Christians, some of the evangelicals do a better job of it, but generally Christians don't ask that question well. And Lutherans in the Missouri Synod, we don't ask it at all. We're not even paying attention. We're still just hammering on the old media as if it's just going to do what we want it to do. You know, the strength of the initial Walther A. Meyer Lutheran Hour was built on the novel power of radio at the time, where if you were on, you were a thing. All you had to do was pay to be on. Because it just, it cost too much to be on. And so the fact that they just did it, that put them way ahead of the game. It was a genius move by Meyer, no doubt about it. And he was a pretty potent personality, so that he was able to levy, I think that's right saying that, the tool for the sake of the message. But radio's not novel anymore, and there's a lot more on it. So, you know, you need a little more, right? There's all these different ways that the media has cross-sectionalized as well, so that YouTube video is not it's not TV, and it's not your classroom. This is a good example, though. So video is not the same as drama. So if you go back and watch old movies, I'm talking 40s, 50s, 60s, right? Talking movies. The movies that move. That's why they call them movies. Did you know that? It was a picture that moves. That's annoying. If you go back and watch them and kind of take a step back, you can realize, oh, look, they're filming this like it's a play. Like I could be sitting in the audience and we're literally in a scene, and the camera might pan or move a little. You might have camera A and camera B, but you really don't have any transitions, right? There's not a lot else going on. And some of that was a technological limit, but it really wasn't. It was a mental limit that they could not conceive of how this tool could be different than a stage that you just recorded, right? And so the early movies are effectively plays on stage. And if you ever watched a video of your own play, like your college play, right? It's not a great movie. It really isn't at all, because the video, and video, movie, film can do so much more than that. And this came up in another conversation recently, and it certainly is not the only example, but it's a really good example of a movie that did break one level of this fourth wallish like thing, right? And certainly some things had been done like this before. The speed of movies, the ability to shift between environments. I mean, that was all happening. You know, having stuff fly across the screen was starting to happen. But when Quentin Tarantino put almost the last scene in the movie as the first scene in the movie, and then proceeded to build the story out of time, he really demonstrated how much we had not even thought about what we could do with film. And I don't know that he's – I've tried to like Tarantino in spite of his vulgarity and need for incredible graphic violence, because I feel like that insight and that move, he has something to offer. And certainly, I mean, True Romance was a pretty good movie, no question. I did not like Reservoir Dogs. I know a lot of people do. What he does, though, is when he approaches film, he's always coming at this with like, what have we not thought of that we could do? And I really like that about him, because it challenges you to say, look, I should understand this tool if I'm going to use it. So yeah, it's a hammer. It can put a nail in the wall, but what else could it do, right? And maybe we should maybe the other thing it could do would be more useful than putting a nail in the wall. Maybe there's a new kind of hammer for putting things in the wall that goes a lot faster, right? And there is, by the way. And maybe this old hammer is useless, and maybe not. Maybe it's good for something different. Yeah, and we don't ask those questions. So this gets a little into that insularity LCMS conversation that I've had on and off with a few of you, and there was a, by the way, if you watch this, I don't even know his name. There was a guy, another Lutheran pastor, did a little response about 6 minutes long. I watched it. Awesome. I've got a bookmark somewhere. Finding the space to sit down and actually respond directly, I wanted to. I did. I really did. So thank you for that as well. You know, in this conversation, right, my frustration is the lack of awareness or even willingness to question, not the theology. I don't want to question the theology. You know, and I include liturgy in theology. The lack of willingness to question the tools that are before us. And in such a way that what we do is we start to look Amish, right? They're not that bad, but we kind of are, right? And what was that I was listening to? Something I was watching, the guy, or listening to a podcast, and he was talking about living near a bunch of Amish, and he'd like them all, you know, but he'd pull up in his car and like drive alongside the guy in the horse and buggy. And the point of that story was to demonstrate that he just in 20 minutes came what that guy can do in a day, right? So are there places like that? That as American Lutherans, we are completely trapped in old world thinking that doesn't have to be better. And I'm the last person to say that we should think that the old world was stupid. No, they were way smarter than us. We're stupid. That's why we're not using new tools well. you know, they would have thought through things a little more than we do. But that doesn't mean that, you know, Edison's first light bulb is the one we still should use. And it doesn't mean that the cheapest light bulb we can buy now is the one we still should use. Because maybe it's really ugly and it makes the service ugly. And maybe I got a bone to pick about that. Yeah, okay, fine. So, tools, media, games. It was games. So, you know, when it comes to trying to take our faith and put it into these tools, whether it's a game or otherwise, we have to be so well versed in what the tool is good for that we're not afraid to break the use of the tool. Yeah. To not only use it in the way that we've seen it used. And in that regard, say if you're going to gamify Christianity, you can't just do, you know, Call of Duty Christian style. I mean, it's just not going to be there. Anything you could come up with, Jesus is fighting demons in hell, right? Oh, that's clever, but it's not really going to enhance faith in any way, shape, or form. And it kind of demeans it a little bit. Yeah, it really demeans it. It demeans it quite a bit. So, there's a rant, huh? What do you think? You guys have been chatting this whole time, all the way to the bottom. Here we go. Weiss House. Oh, I didn't say it. You did. When did we start engaging the youth with the evangelical worship practices? Well, they insist it's not worship. So as long as they say it's not worship, it must not be worship. Oh, I got my negative back. You'd gone away and now you have returned. You went in 2001, less of a rock concert, more VBS-y. Well, same problem. Oh my goodness, I can't get that thing to stop doing that. Same problem, same theory. Yeah, when did we start believing that teaching the youth required sillyifying it? When did we start believing that for a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old or an 8-year-old or a 20-year-old, for them to learn anything or grow in discipleship and spirituality, we had to make it intentionally dumb and funny? And then from that also exciting. That's the bigger question. It's not really about rock and roll at all. And this is where Charles Finney, revivalism, comes in. You got to know his name. New measures. The idea that if you don't – oh, that's not the right camera. The idea that if you don't change the way you are presenting if you don't – if you do not correctly use the tools to manipulate the other human being – then there cannot be conversion. Now, I hate that. That's evil. Put that over here. My insularity conversation is, that being evil doesn't make the tools evil. Or our use of the tools in a good way not good, right? So what's the insight that led us to think that we should have to make the kids enjoy the worship? I mean, there's something there that isn't wrong. Finney was saying you kind of want to trick them. I mean, they're unbelievers. He was dealing with conversion, and the unbeliever needs to be motivated to believe. And that's not going to be the word of God that would do that. So you need to motivate them with other things. And if you hear me saying any of that, that's not what I'm saying. I am saying that the human being needs to be treated like a human being, which I don't think is too crazy. But, you know, what would lead us to think that our youth aren't believing? What is it they're not getting when that we need to fix? And we think that the answer is fun. And so I mentioned Finney. The other name I throw in there is Dewey. Dewey, who reinvented education and made it learner-centric. And it's not that there aren't different learning styles. There definitely are. But the idea is that the student will be motivated to learn most when they enjoy the learning. That's true. So the task is to change what's learned to make it enjoyable. That's the problem. Yeah. You can't change the knowledge. Or you will change the knowledge and it won't be the knowledge anymore. And so, you know, when the girl says, oh, I really enjoyed the persecution simulator. It was great. I'd do it again. What did she learn? She learned that it's fun to play hide and seek in the dark. That's what she learned. She did not learn what persecution is like. And she certainly did not learn that in a moment of total fear and dread, the only hope you have is that if you die, it's okay. You're going to rise again from the dead. She didn't learn that either. And could you take that thing and turn it into that so she would learn that? I don't think so. No. But out of the question, you know, when did we start doing this? We've been doing this for ever since we bought into the idea that youth need to be treated differently than other Christians. And along with that the main ones that are supposed to reach the youth are not the parents. Like, that idea is a really bad idea, right? So the answer to the growth of the young Christian is not the father being a Christian and the mother being a Christian too, but some other thing. And if you want to get to a piece of law that God wrote that has to do with training up the youth, it's you know, parents train up the youth. So just talking about your faith with your kids alone is so powerful, even if you're not perfect with it, right? Just to do it, to demonstrate it, so powerful. All these other gimmicks that we would try to use to, like, kind of, oh, look, it's fun. That's what it is. It's a gimmick. It'll die with its gimmickry. So I don't know if I, that was kind of weird where I went with that a little bit. I hope it all made sense. You guys are talking about building something. Is this the game idea? Dr. Seuss, sir, yeah, that was something, wasn't it? Dude. Okay. And I pointed this out in my video about that way, way back. All you gotta do is look at thing number two's face during the Lord's Supper, and you can tell that kid is done with church, right? He does not want to be there ever again. It's all the proof you need. Way before this, 60s and 70s are just a fallout of philosophical ideas that were being put into place 100 years prior, postmodernism. And the 60s act like they're this big idea. They're the result of a boiling out of things and a shifting of direction intellectually that it occurred in the 20s, 30s, and 40s even. And the war kind of paused it all. It was like, pause. We have this one generation has to die to save everybody from, like, actual Nazis. So it all kind of paused, and then they came back, and then, you know, a combination of other factors, including a warmonger mindset, kind of pushed us back to the boiling point again. Anyhow, so much happened in the 40s and 50s that was bad. I'm a little conspiracy-ish there. That interview was very – sorry. If you're listening, sorry. I'm not going to read that one out. Finney denied original sin, penal substitutionary atonement. Yeah, he denied a whole bunch of stuff. Dude was a complete non-Christian. Yeah, more or less. And yet he is the father of American Christian practice. There's no question about it. Wesley learned everything he knows from Finney. Will Saturday morning show return to a more consistent? Well, thanks, Caleb, for poking my eye. That was the goal today. Yeah, 6 a.m. is the start time. And if I don't have it up, it's just because I have failed you. And I should quit, because remember, second place doesn't count. Oh, man. Ministry, word, and sacrament. Yes, 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 yes. You guys are just having too much to talk about. I can't get through it all. I'm learning. You need to talk to them. There's no program. Yes, amen. You got to talk to the actual kids. They are accustomed to being catered to their individual needs. That's the truth, too. Yeah, yeah. I mean, catechesis and teaching in general, the same is true for new members that are adults. It's just not that easy to teach discipleship. We don't even know what it is. What's discipleship? It's a head game for us. It's knowledge. And the only ones that say it's not are pietist, hyper-sanctified legalists, right? So the lonely way that Sasa talks about, by the way, the lonely way that series is named after is the lonely way between law and gospel, the lonely way between evangelicalism and Rome as well, but it's the lonely way between law and gospel that you never get to be comfortable. You're going to be fighting legalism or licentiousness always. You don't get to sit back and like, well, we got it fixed. Let's just chill for a while, right? It's just not going to be there. And I would say that right now the biggest fight we have is the fight for the gospel, not the law. By far, by oodles and oodles far. But there is a fight for the law that's also at work, and it's not... Or it's the wrong law that we tend to fight for. You know, we fight for all these cultural laws that are these habits and uses of tools as if they're from God. And then we're freaked out because the sexual community in America is so off the deep end. But we don't really repent of what got us there. It's like the 60s, 70s things I was saying a moment ago. It's not like 2008 just showed up out of nowhere. It's not like the denial of marriage as an institution hadn't been here since the 60s. I mean, the moment that we began allowing, forgive me, there's forgiveness for this, by the way, so don't hear this as condemnation if you're one person in a situation that is connected to this. There's forgiveness for all sins. But when we rolled over to divorce law, marriage was done. We really shouldn't be surprised by this. We'd said that marriage is not marriage. Boom. It isn't. It's not for life. Therefore, it's not what the Bible says. Therefore, it's not marriage anymore. And now we just get to define it however we feel like. Whatever my experience is, I can change it now. And are we surprised that over 50 years, those experiences got a little more extreme? I mean, does our wickedness ever kind of slow down? Oh, that was too wicked. I should stop. I mean, it really doesn't do that unless it hits a wall. The first use can curb it, but the first use is often comes with a sword. Right? Rome fell for these same reasons, by the way. Rome gave up on truth, right? Law, order. It began denying its own identified morals. And as a result, it just became so weak, so internally corrupt. I watched and then I rewatched some Dave Chappelle recently. And if you got a squeamish stomach for vocabulary and awkward ideas, don't watch Dave Chappelle. But according to some, he's the best comedian ever. And honestly, he's awful funny. And what he does that's even better than him being funny is he attacks modern hysteria culture. Oh, does he attack it hard? It's very refreshing. He's like a prophet, you know, or the king's jester, the king's fool. Like, he's saying it and it's funny, so he gets to say it. But like, what's the king going to do? And who's the king? The king is the woke culture that's going blah about everything, right? And then he just goes straight at them. And the insanity that has been created by the weakening of our ability to have a conversation about anything without immediately pegging people. So I just said, you know, woke culture, and now I'm immediately pegged, right, as somehow, what, a Nazi, right? Whatever they're going to call you. And so, and we do the same thing on the right, where somebody says, you know, I want universal health care. And it's like, wow, you must, what's the worst thing I could say of them? You know, you're Antifa. There we go. That's a good one. That's a good example. Oh, son, you must be for Antifa then. Are you out like throwing milkshakes in people's eyeballs and stuff? Right. And so there's both sides. All of us are part of this bigger bubble of hysteria that is not sober, right? It's not sober minded. And that's why we're getting weaker as a nation, is that lack of sobriety. I'm not talking about alcohol right now. I'm talking about the ability to assess the times carefully and to engage them with propriety, wisdom, intelligence, as opposed to continuing to play the game that the TV is selling us. Oh, what was this one on? This was such a great line. This podcast. Oh, I wish I don't know where this one came from either. It was just yesterday I heard this one. That the crazy thing about the woke culture right now is it's giant conglomerate multi-billion dollar corporations trying to convince the populace that they're woke, so that the populace that hates giant conglomerate capitalism will buy their stuff. So it's trying to make the woke people who hate capitalism continue to live out their capitalistic influences that they speak against, but they're actually still living it. And then the very thing that they're doing is buying the problem that they're fighting against, and that these corporations, which really want capitalism because it's how they're able to do what they're doing, are trying to pretend that they don't like it. Huh. And it's just – and if that ever becomes real, I mean, it'll just collapse. It'll just collapse. And it is maybe a little bit already. And that's part of, well, the national debt. Oh, man. I don't even want to go there. I want to get to some theology here. Primal Scream. Have I read Primal Scream? How Sexual Revolution Created Identity Politics? You know, I've heard of that, but I have not. But it totally connects. Just kind of intuitively makes sense there. Where I come from in the UK, people are surprised to hear I'm a Lutheran, but although being a Christian is less usual, people accept it okay. I don't think they realize how serious it is. Nobody realizes how serious it is. It's a game. It's a game. It's a game. It's a game. You've got theology. I've got some I've got to do so I can get these videos done for Monday morning. You never even met a Lutheran. There are Lutherans in England. It's a small group, but there are churches. The Lutheran Church of England is over there. So you should look for him. If you deny real presence, then you must also deny either divinity or humanity of Christ. True. Although felicitous inconsistencies are quite potent and powerful. That is to say, if you take it to its logical conclusion and defend it to the death, you must end up in those places. But simply doing it as an individual doesn't necessarily do that. For your internal faith, as a church, as a congregation, a community, it will do it over the course of time. 20 years, 100 years, doesn't matter. It'll take you there eventually. And it's just the next person who isn't as committed to this one other thing you don't want to let go of as you are. And then they let go of that piece and it snowballs over time. So absolutely, the Council of Chalcedon and its four negations, in which paradoxically and hyperbolically, it defends the incarnation of Jesus as full God and full man, those negations apply directly, not indirectly, directly to his presence in the Lord's Supper. They have to, because they apply to him, and it is him. You can't separate him from the Lord's Supper. And so again, the negations of Chalcedon are absolutely about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is about incarnation. If he can't be in bread, he can't be in flesh. And if he can't do with his flesh what he wants to do with it, he ain't God. I mean, it's just straight up, right? And him being God does not deny his humanity. It doesn't take it away. It's still flesh. That's where the brain chemistry in the supper book is. Oh, it's so much fun to think about Jesus' brain. I love it. Anyway, we'll leave that for another time. Annabelle, I got a bunch of Lutherans from the UK over here. Fairham, our Savior Fairham. God bless you, Annabelle. Are there Lutherans in Ireland? That's what I want to know. I found this really decent. It'll be in my Mad Mondays newsletter, by the way. You definitely want this link, and I will only give it to you there. Really great 30 minutes on preventing heart disease. Holy moly, is it good. And the guy, to make it even better, the guy's Irish. And so he tinks these thoughts and things, and I can't even do it. It's so great. But Ireland, do we have Lutherans in Ireland? I bet we don't. Oh, whatever. It's because we have to make them German before they'll convert. UK conversations going on in the chat. So here's what I'm thinking, guys. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm going to lose a lot of you. 51 of you watching right now, though. That's fantastic. I need to do these actual Bible videos, but we are at 136 minutes of this live stream at the moment. And so at 2 hours, it will create an issue with the processing. And that's a YouTube thing. So what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to end the official chill with a cheers to you. I'm going to go get some more of this glorious concoction and come back, and I will reboot here with a new stream, same place. So if you're just watching, just let it sit. It should come back in, I think that's the way it works. We'll get going into some Bible. We got, you know, 9 different sections of Bible to look at, and we'll dig right into that. So with that said, good comment, Brian. We're not going to jump on that right now. I'm going to just touch more here before we go. I've been LCMS 27, and I'm still unlearning so much American. Yeah, well, you never stop. It's in the flesh. The flesh knows it all. My sister wants me to come with her to visit Ireland, but I tried to find anything Lutheran as a church to visit, and the only one I could find were actually in German. Oh, I would figure. God bless them. Yeah, maybe immigrants, possibly from the mainland. It will take an act of God, I think, to get me to leave Rockford at this point. But what could do it would be for Mighty Mad Christian Network, whatever, Mad Christian Network, to get to the point where I had to go somewhere where there's no Lutherans. Ireland. Netherlands, China. I'm too old. I gotta get my kids out of the house. But we gotta do this, people, somehow. And Mad Christian may not be the way to do it, but dear heavens, can't believe we don't have more going on. It depresses me. Everybody wants to save the world. Most Catholics in the South, Presbys or Anglicans, mostly Catholics in, oh, I get it. Mostly Catholics in the South, Presbys or Anglicans, and some Baptists in the North. This is Ireland. Yeah. Okay. So South Ireland, Presbyterians and Anglicans and Baptists. Oh, no. Oh, that's in the North. Presbyterians, Anglicans, Baptists. You know, those are all Church of England. All three of those things are, in fact, versions of Church of England. And they just didn't want to stay under King Henry anymore for various reasons. Go figure, you know. It wasn't just Henry, but the system. This was pointed out to me by an Anglican, by the way. So, you know, you can argue with him. Basically, every single American denomination, with the exception of the Amish, right, and various Lutheran splinters, comes out of the Church of England. It's kind of nuts. You can track it. And it really is there. in terms of their theological strain, right? Really, really interesting. So Catholics in the South, that's where I want to go, where they kill me. Oh, I like the Irish. I don't talk like them, though. I can't do it. Church of England. Here, Anglican Church of England. Yeah. All right. Well, comments have dried up here a little bit. Italy. Yeah, it does. Oh, I would. Yeah. Yeah. Nice climate in Italy. I agree. I feel like there is a Lutheran church in Italy, like a congregation, but it's not Missouri Synod affiliated, but it's not like ELCA either. I could be totally wrong about this, but I feel like I heard that or saw that somewhere. There's a pastor over there. He's just trying, right? God bless the man. I know nothing. Maybe he's a heretic. I don't know. But like, try. Okay. Scotland. You know, that's my ancestry. Not all of it, but some of it. My middle name, you know my middle name? Starts with an M. Has a C right after the M, and then another capital letter. Yeah, for reals. For reals! Someday. Right. All right, well, check it out. You guys are still talking about this stuff. Oh, here, now they finally, here's a... learning the Reformation to distinguish how the doctrine got twisted. Are you talking about like the splits? Because it really does help understand why various groups believe what they believe. So when you look at what King Henry did and why, it makes sense why the splintering action is more common in the Church of England's children than it is, say, in the Lutheran position, which was a state-run but not splitting from the Pope for personal reasons establishment, tied much more strongly to sociocultural factors than the Church of England really ever was, because Henry's reason was actually to get rid of a sociocultural factor, right? And so there's a the reasons why these various groups began can still be found in the ways that these groups act, and that includes Germanic Lutherans, that includes Norwegian and Swedish Lutherans, and why they do what they do. We always kind of bear the sins of our fathers, whether we like it or not. And I'm not saying that this means that any of these – I'm getting a text message from my daughter. Oh, she did well in the first volleyball game. They have a tournament today. I got to go to some of that at some point. I'm not saying that there is no word of God involved in any of this. There absolutely is. But you can also see the humanity at work, and that humanity often is what starts that small line that's a little off, and over the course of generations that line just goes further and further. So all right, so logging out, but I will be back. It is where's my clock? I moved my clock. There it is, 9:58 a.m. I will be back at 10:15. We got a solid at least 40 minutes of Bible text coming your way, so if you got nothing else to do, just stay put or grab something to sip on. 10:15. I'm gonna make it faster. It's gonna be 10:10. 10:10. I'll be right back. All right. We'll catch y'all at that time. Rock on.
No doubt, the facts have been exaggerated. Well.
Was that worth a dollar? Click the Patreon link in the show notes to sign up.